Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike to tell you along with Charlie Long in studio, 545. It'll be our Bet 365 triple option feature. Steve Geller will join us at 520, a little afterwards. Nick Friedel, Odyssey NBA insider, and give us the breakdown of down the stretch they come in the NBA in the regular season.
So I think that tune's changed a little bit since the last time we talked with Nick. Mike.
Just a tad. You know, we started this show talking about 8 years ago today. Our old friend Hokie Gajon passed away. And so I've had some people tell me, Mike, give me your two best Hokieisms that he had. Because Hokie always had something. He always had a little comment about something. And so I don't know if they're the two best, but the two I remember the best was we were talking about a player one time at a running back, and he said, Mike, he got more moves than a sprayed cockroach. But that one I remember pretty well. The other one is, when you're a fish out of water, you're a dead duck. And have Bobby tell him, Hokie, explain me how. Yeah,
wait a second.
When you're fish out of water, you're dead. And man, he would have them, and boy, they get into a long conversation about it. But those are two of them I remember so well. And you know, especially when we're doing training camp, we did a couple of them out at Nichols State University before they started doing it. At the Saints camp and all that. And so we go sit in the little bleachers, Hoke and I, and we'd watch the practices there. He said, Mike, training camp was so tough, even my eyebrows hurt when I was a player. So that was just something that Hoke would come up with. But, man, he was something. He always had a little breakout in telling you one thing or another, but he was a great connection here at WWL to the Saints world, and we sure do miss him. Charlie, one of the things you brought up, University of Tennessee Martin transfer guard Jordan Sears, has committed to LSU, averaged almost 22 points a game at Tennessee Martin, and he shot 42% from the three-point line. Man, for Matt McMahon, you need some people that can fill up the rim, so to speak, and I think that was a big get for him to get Jordan Sears, who had a long list of college schools that were after him.
Yeah, I think he was a top 60 recruit in the transfer portal, Mike. As you mentioned, 21.6 points per game, which is ninth in the country. I actually watched him play against Morehead State. I was watching the Ohio Valley Conference semifinal matchup between UT Martin and Morehead State, the 2 and the 3 seed respectively. Mike, he was the guy. Like, every single time he had the ball, he was great driving to the basket. It's funny because if you look at his numbers, he shot about 43% from three-point range just this past year, which is really solid. But he wasn't actually good from three-point range that night, but he did still score 34 points in that matchup. He was a guy that, I mean, he was a volume scorer, 21.6 points per game, but he also added in 4.6 rebounds, 4.5 assists. He's a little bit undersized. He's 5'11", 185, the junior guard from UT Martin. But now, coming to LSU, I mean, you know what he's going to have to do this upcoming season with Coach
McMahon.
Score the basketball.
And
put
be
it in
a
the
facilitator.
Yeah, I mean, four and a half assists is solid, but as a lead guard, this is a guy that you expect to hoop. This is a guy that you expect to score and score and score this upcoming season for this Tiger bunch.
Yeah, and so there is a transition now. Now, you play in better competition from T.C. Martin to the SEC, but, man, crazy things happening in Kentucky, too, now, when it looked as though Coach Drew might be the new head coach at Kentucky.
He's staying put.
He is staying put at Baylor. And do they go to Pope? Now, at BYU is a former Kentucky player who's won at BYU. And, man, it's open. Because once one domino, and I think probably Kentucky's reached out to a couple different people. We talked about Billy Donovan.
I was about to ask about Billy. Is Billy kind of out of the question at this point, Mike?
He hasn't said one way or another. But
I would still keep an eye on that, I think.
He's revoked basically every school that has went after him over the last 4 or 5 years to return to college basketball. And he has said, no, I'm staying in the NBA. And also, too, Charlie, the timing of this, because the Bulls are in the play-in tournament, right? They're in the play-in tournament.
Yeah, they're currently in the play-in tournament. They're not going anywhere. They're probably going to be in that 9-10 game with the Atlanta Hawks, I would imagine, at this point, given the standings in the Eastern Conference. I've been so kind of invested in the Western Conference standings, I haven't looked too much into the East, but given where the Bulls are...
That's more set than it is out West.
I would agree. And the Bulls have a game tonight against the Pistons, so I think they'll solidify their spot. Right now they're at the 9 seed. They're a game and a half above the Atlanta Hawks at the 10 spot, so they're trying to get another win to secure hosting that first play-in game against the Hawks in the 9-10 matchup.
Because this isn't about money anymore, okay? It's about the position at Kentucky. You know, when they bring you in here, man, listen, it ain't about getting into the tournament. They want you to be in the Final Four and win a national championship.
Well, that's why Calipari got run off, is because of his lack of success in March. I think in his last 10 March games, he was 2-8 or something like that. It just wasn't good. He got taken out in the first round way too often for Kentucky fans' liking. And, you know, Coach Calipari's already started to do some press tours out in Arkansas, and he had a really funny bite yesterday, Mike. I don't know if you saw it, where they were asking him about keeping his team, retaining his team, and he's just like, what team? Everyone's gone. Everyone's in the transfer portal right now. That's how crazy college basketball is today. But he can build that team from the ground up basically over at Arkansas. It's a matter of who's going to come in to Kentucky next. And that's a big question mark, because Scott Drew was kind of a hot name, and the fact that he already put on his Twitter page.
He was in that kind of driver's seat.
Billy Donovan's still a name I would probably keep an eye on, just given the kind of title that he has and the legacy that he has in college basketball. It would make some sense to me from him to jump back to the college game after, I don't want to say he was necessarily a failure with the Bulls, but the Bulls really aren't going anywhere. I think that'd be kind of a mutual decision. At the same time, there are a couple other college coaches, as you mentioned, Pope from BYU potentially, that could put his name into the hat for that job at Kentucky. Kentucky's going to want a big name. That's what it comes down to, Mike. And what is a big enough name for them to be satisfied moving on from Coach Calipari and moving forward in this new era of the NIL and transfer portal?
It might not be that name.
You don't think so?
I'm telling you, they may have to go back. And Pope does have that connect the dots to the Kentucky program. And played a long time in the NBA, too. I mean, and he's had success at BYU. That's not considered, college basketball haven at BYU, but he's had success there. So he may be the guy you have to turn to. My thing is with Billy Donovan, wouldn't you have made that call first? Wouldn't he have been the first guy you make that call to?
Yeah, sure. But as you mentioned, they're in the play-in tournament right now. The Bulls are smack dab in the middle at 9, so their season's far from done. Maybe once the season's over, things may start to heat up with him, but – I mean, other than that, Scott Drew, once again, Mike, that was a big name to kind of come off the board once he said he was staying at Baylor, because that's a national championship coach that would have kind of fit the billing for a job like Kentucky, but he's staying put.
And the AD has told different people there in the media he wanted to have this position filled by tomorrow, by Friday. So
then Donovan's probably not the name.
Then that clock is ticking then at this particular point. When we come back, we'll have on with this Odyssey Sports NBA insider Nick Friedell talking to us about down the stretch they come with the NBA regular season and how he thinks things will fall out right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last.
Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelier along with Charlie Long in studio. And on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is Odyssey Sports NBA insider Nick Friedel. Insider calls are brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure. Nick, thanks so much for joining us. We got a little bit different story from the last week when we were talking. Man, the Pelicans were bailing water. You got a couple wins now under their belt. And, man, this race down the stretch is like a – it's like watching the Kentucky Derby or the Belmont. You know, who's going to hit the tape first with it? But at least we – Charlie, is this the line from The Godfather? They then pulled him back in.
They're pulling me back in.
Him back in after he had tried to get away. At least now you see something here, and I think C.J. McCollum has played a big part in that. No question with Zion, what he brings out on the court – but CJ has really played terrific in the last five or six games.
Mike, I'm just sitting here cracking up because it's like when you think you're out, they pull us back in.
Yeah.
And guys, did they ever need those two wins just desperately? And you think that maybe it gives them a little bit of that confidence that they're going to need in this next week. But McCollum, absolutely. I mean, when you start getting the contributions that they're getting on top of what you still hope that Zion can provide in those games, CJ's playing like the way we know he has in the past and can, then the Pelicans can start thinking about, all right, let's get in this thing and try to make some noise.
Unfortunately, last night, Nick, the Clippers couldn't do it undermanned. We were hoping that they could sweep that back-to-back against the Phoenix Suns.
Almost had to get the mop out for Charlie last night.
Listen, Bones Highland did his best.
Man, he was crying about it.
Bones Highland really did do his best. He kept them in that game. There was no Kawhi, no PG, no Russell Westbrook, and they still kept it close until the final quarter where they kind of fell apart there. So now the Suns are right back on the Pelicans' tail. They need a win tonight in Sacramento, setting things up. A win in Sacramento keeps them as the sixth seed. A loss drops them back into the play-in tournament is the 7. So I want to get your thoughts on tonight's matchup between the Pelicans and the Kings. The Pelicans are 4-0 this season against Sacramento. We've talked about the matchup there, whereas they don't really have anyone to kind of check Zion. And then the Kings just don't really play great defense. So they're missing a couple offensive pieces as well with Malik Monk and Kevin Huerter. So what do you kind of expect tonight from this Pelicans-Kings game?
I would expect the Pelicans to have the ability to mentally break down the Kings if they get up on them early, guys. Because when you've had that type of success with a team over and over and over again, then you know you can beat them. And guess who else knows? Sacramento.
Yeah.
And I know it's hard to knock out a team that many times, but when you've had that much success through the year and you have the ability to say, oh, well, we know we'll get you in the end, that's what happens. And I, when I look at New Orleans right now in this game, they know that they have the upper hand. You mentioned Sacramento. We talked about them a little bit last week. They don't play defense. It's the fatal flaw of the Mike Brown story with the Kings right now. He is such a good coach, and he can get through to the players, but they don't like playing on that end of the floor. When you have that problem and you have the talent that New Orleans has, I absolutely would expect them to find a way tonight. And we've seen it too many times over the course of the last few months not to think they can make it happen again.
Yeah, so the magic number for the Pelicans to make the playoffs as the sixth seed is still 3 with that, you know, win by the Suns last night. So we're looking at the Kings game tonight. I think the Kings might actually technically be betting favorites despite the Pelicans' 4-0 record against them. The Kings have lost, I think, 5 of their last 8. So this is a spot where if the Pelicans can take care of business against a team that, as you mentioned, they've kind of owned all season long, then you're looking at tomorrow night in a back-to-back against the Golden State Warriors. And this is a Warriors squad Nick, that we both know is playing great basketball right now. We saw what they did to the Lakers the other night. I mean, this team, if there's any team that scares me in the final three games, and that includes the Lakers, it's the Golden State Warriors.
Completely. And not only do they have Steph and they know what he can do. Guys, if you're the Warriors and you finally have found your stride that you've been looking for all season long and you're finally healthy and you know that you have the ability in the biggest games to raise the level of your own play, that would be the team that would terrify me. That is why it is imperative for New Orleans to find a way tonight against a team they know they have control over and have had over the rest of the year. Because when you look at Golden State, not only New Orleans, every team in the league is going, I don't want to see Steph. I don't want to see Draymond, who actually appears to be locked in. If these guys are focused, they are not your average 9-10 seed, as we all know. But when you see the way that they've been playing up and down all year, you just kind of shake your head like, where has this been all along?
Insider calls are brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure with capable features like available H-Track all four-wheel drive and standard third-row seating. Charlie and I were talking about this, Nick, with the Chicago Bulls and Billy Donovan. And what's your thoughts on the Kentucky job being open? And my thing is, I don't know that Kentucky's going to wait. And with the Bulls in the play-in tournament, I think Billy Donovan stays where he's at. Now, he's turned down other opportunities from other colleges. Now, Kentucky's different now because of what they have to offer financially and also tradition. But your thoughts on what could happen at Kentucky now that it looks as though Coach Drew is staying at Baylor?
Guys, it would shock me knowing – Billy Donovan a little bit and talking to him through the years and hearing so many NBA coaches who came from college, and obviously a lot of them have not had success, but seeing him leave Chicago for Kentucky would just shock me. And I know there's been more chatter recently today about, maybe, and we got the Drew news. But what do all these guys say repeatedly? They don't want to recruit.
Right. Every second.
Especially in this era.
Every second of every day. And, exactly. And that was 5-6 years ago. Like, to think in this era of NIL that Billy Donovan would go from a situation in Chicago where, let's be honest, there's not a lot of pressure. It's not like the Chicago Bulls are sitting there going, hey, we want to contend for a championship. What the Risers want is to get into a play-in tournament and get an extra home game for a couple million dollars. You're going to go from Chicago, where you live in a world-class city and get paid a ton of money, to potentially Lexington, which is great, but that fan base is rabid. And you can make all the money in the world if you don't want to be in a setting where the pressure is at the level that it's at. Day after day in that program, I just don't see him doing it unless he wants to cash out completely. And more power to him if he can squeeze out, however many million it would take. But I see the stories pop up the last couple of days, and I'm going, really? He's going to leave a situation where there's not much pressure, or the ultimate pressure situation in college basketball? I don't see it, but crazier things certainly have happened.
Nick, moving on past the Pelicans, I want to ask you a couple of questions about the Western Conference standings right now. There are a couple of races that I'm keeping an eye on. Obviously, the Pelicans, Suns, and even lower down the line, the Kings, Lakers, and Warriors. I think those are all kind of races to keep an eye on as far as this, how the 6-10 shakes out in the Western Conference. The other one that I'm watching very closely, the Nuggets last night pulling away from the Minnesota Timberwolves in Denver. Now they control the one seed with two games left to play. Minnesota one game back, and then the Thunder also a game back of the Nuggets. I think that that's a really interesting race to keep an eye on. Denver is the one team, if you're a Pelicans fan, you want to avoid at all costs. No one wants to face Nikola Jokic in the postseason based off of what he did last year. And it seems like this Denver Nuggets squad is kind of in the driver's seat now for the one seed in the Western Conference.
Denver's the one team, guys, that nobody wants to cross.
Amen.
No, I don't want to see them at all.
nobody wants to see, because not only do we know they have the talent with Jokic, I mean, he's going to win another MVP, they have the confidence that comes with being able to play and beat anybody who comes in front of them. So if you're New Orleans, if you're anybody, Denver, to me, as we sit here right now, is still absolutely the team that I would go to the window and feel real comfortable about, because I just don't see anybody who's been able to show that they are that much better. So I know the way they've been playing. I know it seems like they've kind of found their own way here recently. But even more, when you watch the Nuggets, you see a group that knows that it will find a way. And when you have a talented roster on top of the pieces that we've already seen from them come together last season, that is a very dangerous combination for any team that steps foot on the floor in front of them.
Nick, last year in the Western Conference, only two teams won 50 games. This year, you already have five teams over that 50-win mark. And one of the teams, you know, we talked about, nobody wants to play the Denver Nuggets. But another team that has gotten white hot recently, I think you know where I'm going with this, and we talked about Nikola Jokic and the MVP candidacy there, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was kind of one of those guys in the name kind of early on, but now Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks, they have been going crazy recently, 16-2 in their last 18 games on a five-game winning streak, nine of their last 10. They're already at the 50-win mark. They've just shot out of the play-in tournament. Now they're kind of locked into that matchup against the LA Clippers in the first round of the postseason. What do you kind of think about the Dallas Mavericks, this run they've been on, and Luka Doncic's candidacy for MVP?
And, Nick, I mean, think about the NBA. To go 18 games and you 16-2? That's unbelievable in today's world.
Guys, this is when a team walks in the locker room and they're just kind of looking at each other like, yeah, we know we're great. I've only seen it a few times, and most of it was with those Warriors teams where they had KD and Steph and they were just better than everybody else. But when a team gets that hot, and this speaks to exactly what we're talking about, you see it on the floor and you're kind of like, yep, you know, they've figured it out. And certainly when you watch Dallas, you see a team that has found a way to play not only at a high rate, but in talking to a couple of people who are around the Mavericks all the time, they're playing for each other. And that is always when you know that things have changed a little bit. When Kyrie and Luka started to find that different level between them, and when you've got Luka playing at the MVP level that he's played at, not only through the year, but certainly recently, I mean, it's only a matter of time before he is the MVP. I'm going to guess that it's going to happen in the next year or two. But as far as Dallas going in the postseason, I think they are a really, really talented team. I worry about them a little bit defensively and down low because there is so much focus on Luka and Kyrie. But the real problem for Dallas or anybody else, and I think that Clippers series would be fascinating, is Denver's just better. And they are a team that if they win another one back-to-back, we're going to start looking at that group in a completely different historical context, because they're going to be doing things that we have not seen at that level since the Warriors and before them, some other teams in the last 20 years or so. So I think Dallas could make a little bit of a push. I've certainly been around Kyrie long enough to know how much he enjoys the stage that is the postseason. Luka's coming into his own. All that being said, I just don't think they're good enough this year.
Nick, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Really appreciate it. But hopefully we'll all be in a good mood next time we have you on next week.
Yeah. Guys, I watch those box scores now and specifically think of how it's going to be the next time I talk to you.
Good gracious.
People down in New Orleans that things start to turn the way they need them to. But, hey, if Zion and CJ are rolling, it's going to be a pretty easy ride, you would think, at least in these next couple.
Thanks so much, Nick. Appreciate it, bud.
You got it. Have a good one.
Thanks, Nick.
That was Odyssey NBA Insider Nick Friedell. Insider calls are brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure. When we come back, it'll be our Bet 365 triple option feature. Myself along with Charlie Long and Steve Geller joins us right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with Steve Geller, Charlie Long. It's our Bet 365 triple option feature. We give our top takes on the top stories in sports. Steve, you go first.
Well, guys, I'm sure you saw this today, but remember when Tom Brady retired for a second time? Well, you never say never again. I guess that's what the Sean Connery 007 movie, but it appears he
might. I remember when Sean said it.
He might be open to another comeback. Yes, Tom Brady, he was on Deep Cuts with Vic Blends, and this is what he said.
Hey. One day there's a situation, right? Maybe it's the 49ers, maybe, you know, heading to the playoffs, offense is great.
Patriots,
somebody,
Raiders, look, could be, you never know.
God forbid somebody goes down, would you pick up that phone?
I'm not opposed to it. If they would, I don't know if they're gonna let me if I become an owner in the NFL team, but I don't know if, I'm always gonna be in good shape, always be able to throw the ball. So to come in for a little bit, like MJ coming back, I don't know if they let me, but I wouldn't be opposed to it.
If he's an owner, they're right. Not going to let him do it.
Well, that's the key. I had to look that up, too. He's still not approved yet to be the minority owner of the Las Vegas Raiders. But if and when he is, league rules would mandate that he would need permission for an NFL-wide approval to get a playing contract should he really pursue this return. Guys, I don't know if this is for real or not.
I think he's throwing the bait.
46 years old. Yeah, it's like, is Tom out there looking for clicks right now? Why would you do this? I thought it was interesting, too. The Patriots tweeted out an old picture of him with some long hair, and he retweets it saying, I'll grow it out if it gets 50,000 likes, and I'm coming back. So I don't know. Could we see a return of Brady? I don't see it either, but it's just some interesting fodder for the day.
Man, I think Tom knows he can get some attention saying that. I think he knows he can get some attention saying it. Charlie?
Guys, I'm looking at the MVP race. We talked a little bit about Nick Friedell about it. Jokic is the overwhelming favorite. Like, if you're looking at the current odds, Jokic is -3,030, and Luka Doncic is second at +1,600. I don't know why this race isn't closer. Like, yes, I get that Jokic and the Denver Nuggets are the top seed in the Western Conference right now. He's coming off an excellent performance against Minnesota to clinch that one seed effectively. There's two games left to play, but they're in the driver's seat right now. Jokic averaging 26.6 points per game, which is eighth in the league, 12.4 rebounds, which is fourth, and 9 assists, which is third, shooting 58% from the field, which is 10th. So, I mean, that is fantastic numbers. Luka Doncic, 33.9 points per game, which is first, 9.2 rebounds, 16th, 9.8 assists, which is second. The amount of points this guy goes for each night, accounts for between points and assists, it's historic. I mean, Stan Van Gundy went on earlier and said that this is one of the best offensive players we've ever seen in the NBA. And it's almost like there's a voter fatigue for a guy that hasn't won the award yet just because he's been so consistently great. And we talked about the run that Dallas has gone on, 16-2 in their last 18 games, guys. Dallas has won 50 games. They're only six games back of Denver in the standings. It's not like this is a play-in team. Like, they are still solidly there. And the recent kind of change, you could probably say, like, the MVP always used to go to the best player on the best team in the NBA historically. But I think kind of about a decade ago when Russell Westbrook had that triple-double season and the Thunder were the sixth seed in the Western Conference and he won the award. And by the way, Nikola Jokic, his first MVP, the Nuggets were the sixth seed that season as well. So why can't Luka Doncic at least be in the conversation with the Dallas Mavericks team that's won 50 games as the fifth seed? With the numbers that he's got, guys, 33.9 points per game, almost 34 points per game, 9.2 rebounds, 9.8 assists, all the triple-doubles that he's got, and he's +1,600 to win MVP just because it's almost like it's a foregone conclusion that Jokic is going to win it. Look, I'm not going to be upset if Jokic wins it, but I just think it should be a closer conversation than some people are acting like it is.
I agree with you, Charlie, totally. The NFL today announced the first group of attendees to appear at the NFL draft, which starts 2 weeks from today.
Yes, oh, man. Sir. Man,
real quick. And so the 13 names announced: Terrion Arnold, the cornerback from Alabama; Marvin Harrison Jr., the wideout from Ohio State; C.J. Latham, the offensive tackle Alabama, Latu Latu from UCLA, the edge rusher. Quinyon Mitchell, cover cornerback from Toledo. Roma Dunze, the wide receiver from Washington. Darius Robertson, however you want to consider him, defensive end, defensive tackle from Missouri. Dallas Turner, the edge rusher from University of Alabama. Caleb Williams, the quarterback from USC. And three LSU Tigers. Jaden Daniels at quarterback. Malik Nabers, wide receiver. Brian Thomas Jr. So the first 13 that were invited to be there day one for the draft. And normally what the NFL tries to do is get a consensus on who they think will be, say, the top 25 players. And not everybody accepts going there. I remember Joe Thomas one year, Joe was unbelievable. Left tackle for the Cleveland Browns. He was, man, to hell with this. I'm going fishing. I'm not going to this dog and pony show. Y'all can have it, but I ain't going. Last year we saw Will Levis sit.
Right.
And he didn't get picked in round one.
There's always someone in the camera.
Always going to be someone, a person or two that doesn't get picked where they think he's going to get picked in round one.
And then give a shout out to Brian Branch as well, Mike. You remember that, how he
Brian was also.
But he was fantastic with the Lions in his first season, his rookie year. But he stayed at the draft until the next day where he got picked, and he got to go up on the stage still. And I thought that was a really cool moment.
And so the first 13 have been announced that will be in Detroit for the NFL draft. Three LSU Tigers. No shock. Brian Thomas Jr., Malik Nabers, Jaden Daniels. And for Jaden and Malik and Brian, they won't have to wait too long to hear them names called.
No, sir.
Only school with three players that get invited so far.
What I don't see is the long list of offensive linemen. Only Latham is on that list right now. But, man, maybe that's why they didn't put them all in one shot, because it might take up of the 13.
They're going to have to put six more, Mike.
Yeah, put at least seven more or eight more into that bunch. So, man, again, 2 weeks from tonight, and we'll have all that coverage here, and we'll give you exactly where we'll be. And it'll be all-night coverage of the NFL draft, Thursday night, Friday night, and then Saturday we crank it up. I think it's at 10 o'clock, and then it's all afternoon till the last selection. We'll have it all here for you on the Big 870 WWL. That's our Bet 365 triple option feature. We'll come back to finish it off in hour number two of Sports Talk right after this break. We're finishing up here in hour number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870. I want to tell everybody at 6:20 tonight, Joe Healy, college baseball writer for D1 Baseball and also SEC Extra on D1Baseball.com, will be on to talk about LSU series as they play Tennessee. Man, and that should really be something. And you can hear that game live right here on the Big 870 WWL all weekend long as the Fighting Tigers play the Volunteers. Charlie,
expect
they're going to win two of three
of
or
runs.
What?
I don't know if they're going to win two of three, Mike. I'm, we talked with Kendall last night, and he said if they get swept, they're in big, big trouble. But if they can take
one.
You
can't get swept.
You can't get swept.
Can't get swept.
And I'm a little bit worried about this Tennessee team. Yes, they can be had on the mound, but the Tigers' kind of weakness has been at the plate. So it's not a great matchup for them, because Tennessee, I mean, they can hit the ball out. Mike, 89 home runs this year, which is tied with Georgia for first in the league.
And it's a hitter's ballpark.
It is a hitter's ballpark.
I get it. I get that.
That's what I'm saying.
But you know what? LSU's got to use that to their advantage, too.
Correct. That's what I'm saying. I think it's going to be a lot of runs scored because, Tennessee, if you look at the numbers, they're number five in the SEC in ERA. But, I mean, do they really have that superstar starting pitcher? I don't think so. So it's all about if the Tigers can kind of match that production of Tennessee's bats and win like a game 9-8 or 10-9 or something like that. Win a tight game instead of losing all these really close games, which just cause them mental fatigue, and then they end up getting blown out in the late game of the series. So if they can win some close games, put up some runs in bunches, I think they can maybe take at least one, if not two, games in the series.
It's definitely a put up or shut up weekend for this squad, no doubt.
Yeah, because beating McNeese is one thing, but beating Tennessee,
Mike, they can hit.
And the way they swing a bat, that's another deal there. Also at 7:20, Jake Madison, who covers the Pelicans for Locked On Pelicans Podcast Network, will be on with us to talk Pelicans and that run down the stretch. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this news break.
We get it.
Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.